just want you to kind of bow your heads for a moment. Father, we come before you knowing that your hand has been upon us. We're very grateful for what you've done. And now, Father, we release ourselves to you so that your hand can continue and work a work of miraculous on the restoration and the recreation of who we are. In Jesus' name. On Tuesday, or rather Sunday, I took you to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we're going to go back there. Because I believe the work isn't done. I believe we started on something, and I don't want to, you know, beat a dead horse, but I do believe sometimes fine-tuning will give us a greater understanding of what God is trying to do. And so this particular scripture by many churches is called the area of the Antichrist, and it's always down into the future. Yet many scriptures tell you that the Antichrist is always working and trying to work in all of us. And that includes the man of lawlessness, which is inside of me, and inside of all of us, trying to manipulate self. That's who he is. That's what he does. He manipulates self. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So, since we ran after this thing and actually exposed it on Sunday, I know I'm putting you on a spot in a sense, but in another sense, I'm looking for the fruit. Because if you found that you were driving differently, that you were reacting differently, since Sunday, I want you to take a chance and put your hands up.
Something broke. Something good happened on even over there.
Praise God.
Since the wedding. I mean, someone's seen a big bubble come and bubble like burst, and, you know, it's good. Just something happened. So.
Well, the reason I'm saying that to you is because there was something today that I was very aware of that, you know, trying to stay in the flow of traffic wasn't important. If that makes any sense to you. Because under normal conditions, I zip along. Well, the me didn't zip along. Isn't that awesome? A miracle and an answer to prayer all at the same time.
Well, I felt bad on Sunday, actually. I'm riding home, and this poor guy comes up behind me and had to go real slow. Caught up to me that quick, I was forced to go slow.
Yeah, and you wouldn't know who that is, would you?
No, I wouldn't know if I was slow.
I get it.
But I said today. I didn't say Sunday.
I'm thinking to myself, this poor guy just preached this.
Saying what I am to you, that lawless one is being dealt with, and it's being dealt with by the Lord. Okay? So now, I want you to go to verse 8. We kind of stressed on that on Sunday, but I want to stress on it again. And then the lawless one will be revealed, so you have to see it in order to deal with it, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth, which, by the way, is the breathing that you saw, which is the what? The Holy Spirit. Okay? And destroy by the splendor of his coming. Now, if you're waiting for the rapture to get this done, then go ahead and wait. But I'd like that garbage to be out of me now. That's why I believe there's a lot of deception in the body of Christ. And I'm not trying to put anybody down. I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm just saying it's time to wake up. Yes.
2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8.
No.
Thessalonians.
2 Thessalonians.
Yeah,
chapter 2,
was in the
verse 8. Just a little bit off. Not too bad.
It's I know I'm using a different translation. Really.
2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. Okay? It's again, it's the revelation that I think is super important. When something is revealed that you see in yourself, and you go to him, and you say, I can't do this, or I haven't been able to do this, then he has an opportunity by the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. Now, you understand the next verse is the coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Now, I'm going to take you to a place where I was testing the spirits many years ago. I was testing the spirits because I was trying to learn discernment. I was crying out to God, help me to discern where the truth is. So I was listening to many different things in many different places in many different churches, okay? And I would use WACE as some of the places where I would listen. And at that time, this is back in the 80s, late 80s, I would listen to a lot of the testimonies of people who were healed. Now, I happened to know of this particular man because I knew of where he went and what he did and what he was doing. This man was dying from a heart condition. He had the valves in his heart were totally, completely worn out. So he was on the radio program. I don't remember the name of it. I'm not looking for identification. I'm just telling you this was something local that I knew about. And I knew some of the people who knew this particular individual. So there was a connection. Here was his testimony. I went to this particular service, and it was awesome, and God was there, and God did this, and I want to thank, and he didn't say thank Jesus. And he gave names, and I'm not going to give you identity, okay? But I was there to pray. I wasn't there for myself. He says, I was there to pray for someone in his family. And I got healed. I am totally healed. So I went back to my doctor. They took x-rays. And nothing has changed inside my body. Yet I'm perfect. The valves are still broken. But I'm feeling perfect. So, I thought, if you're healed, when my Jesus heals... At that time at Grace Church of Christ, we had lots of evidence of total restoration. Pieces of bone that were not there were restored. Pieces of cancer completely gone. With photographs of the cancer. Photographs of the cancer gone. I mean, you know, x-rays were common. We had loads of those. So I went to Gino and I said, Gino, what do you think of this? He says, did you hear any worship of our Savior Jesus Christ? Did you hear any glory given to the Savior, the healer? I said, no, not one word. It was all going to other deities. He said, check what the scripture says. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles. I was also studying The Beautiful Side of Evil at that time, written by, Lord have mercy, a lady that was brought up in a denominational church, and I can't think of her last name or her name. Do you remember The Beautiful Side of Evil?
Yeah, but I don't remember her name.
I don't remember her name. It's not important. But here she was, trained in Mexico to release healing to all those who were sick. And she was using her spirit guide. Okay? She also then was pressed of God to go to Europe to visit with one of her sisters who had become a born-again Christian. And the identity of her witchcraft was exposed, and she was set free and born again. But she also learned that the evil had miracles and signs and wonders. She had learned to do spiritual surgery with a spiritual knife, and they would cut out the cancers and cut out, you know, things that were no good and replace them with, and it was a rusty knife. I mean, I can remember. So you can imagine, this is something that's coming. Okay? And when the glory is not going to God and the Most High, and it's not going to Jesus Christ, there's counterfeit stuff out there. Okay? And your discernment is going to have to be able to pick it up. Because just because you hear of somebody miraculously being healed and set free, are they really healed? That man from Northampton was not really healed. That man had the same problem, but a demon spirit was allowing the flow of his blood to keep on going through his body, and he was worshiping the deity that he had now obviously received from. Okay? So I'm saying this to you is because there is a caution light that should be in our hearts. All kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love truth. Who is the truth? He's a person. He's Jesus himself. And be saved. So they're not saved. They're in a religious realm, but they're no salvation. All right? For this reason, God sends them powerful delusions that they will believe the lie, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, which is Christ, Jesus himself, but have delighted in wickedness. Do you know how many miracles of that type have been supporting false churches? What kind of money do you think that comes in when something like this happens? See, I'm trying to tell you that this is around the corner. Verse 13. Stand firm. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning, God chose you to be saved. So salvation has been given to you as a gift. Through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, and through the belief in the truth, which is Christ, Jesus himself. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you notice it is explicit? So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. In other words, if it doesn't come from the scripture, if it doesn't get verified by the word of the Lord, you better be thinking twice about sending contributions if you're in that atmosphere, or those around you that are doing these things. Okay? Verse 16, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us, by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope. Eternal encouragement. Not part-time. So it's going to go on in the heavenlies. Encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. So I felt if we didn't cover this corner, this strong delusion would make, let's say, a pattern to think, well, it's only those guys on the other side of the street, it's not me. We can be deceived even when miracles and signs and wonders are taking place. Who's causing them? The witches and warlocks have their little signs on the back of their cars and their bumper stickers. Witches heal. They don't have a problem with advertising what they do. And I can tell you, there are many, many, and I say this in all fairness to you, many that have been deceived by putting their will ahead of God's will. Their plan against God's plan. And I'll share with you that Rick Joyner shared on his website several years ago, and in a book that he wrote not too long ago also, that when he was commissioned of the Lord to go and open up the ministry in Charlotte, North Carolina, the first demon that needed to be pulled down was Christian witchcraft.
I remember reading about that.
The first demon that needed to be pulled down was Christian witchcraft, because people were controlling each other from the church, inside the church, and from one church to the other. I also will tell you that the church that was the pastor, that was Pastor Ed Brownsville, he also shared that when he was commissioned of the Lord and chosen to be pastor of Brownsville Assembly, that when revival broke out, I mean, thousands upon thousands upon thousands were there from all over the world, okay? And it lasted for, I can't tell you how many years, I don't remember the number, but I know that his testimony is on one of the CDs that I just received, and he makes it very, very clear. He said, when we, meaning him and his wife, were in an ordinary pastoring position, they were supporting five national ministries. Might be five or six. And he says, we didn't have big money, but he says, we sent them what we had, and we committed to support them. These were nationally known. He said, when revival broke out, those very Pentecostal denominations were the very first ones that began to speak negatively about him as a pastor and about the Brownsville revival. They all turned against him and against that church. Yet, it was awesome to see the miracles, the deliverances, the work of the Holy Spirit to do such a mighty work for so many individuals. And he was being persecuted publicly and openly. What does that tell you? The pattern has not changed. Brownsville is not 50 years ago.
Okay. Toronto, too. They got bashed.
Oh, yes. Toronto got bashed, yes. I want to go back to something that I spoke earlier and the commissioning of what God wanted for New England and for this area. I shared with you some private things earlier, but I want to share with you something that came back as the vision is back in my head, and it did show up when I was sitting over here earlier. And that vision is this. I saw myself back in 1993 with several that were with me to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, and we were in Washington, D.C. While we were there for close to a week with Wade Taylor, and there was a woman that we had met several months before in the middle of the summer, and the Lord had sent five of us down to visit at Karen Coughlin's, and when we went there, were you there, Big? You were there with us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But you didn't go down to Washington with
no,
us.
I didn't.
But you were with us when we went to Karen's.
Karen, yeah.
Okay. So you remember Sylvia Williams.
Mm-hmm.
She made a declaration over this group. And her declaration was that God was looking for a people that he could mold and fashion in the image of his son. And those words were spoken over us more than once. And that commission is a choice by God to have a people. When Sylvia was released to come, Sylvia was a college teacher that was commissioned to go and intercede, and she interceded and chose several other intercessors, and they lived in a house on Massachusetts Avenue where Wade was staying. And she stayed there for 3 years without any other job but to intercede day in, 24/7. And she was the support that kept Wade flowing in the ways where he was writing the book, Behind the Stairs, or
Secret
of the Stairs. While we were there, there were many things that God revealed, many, many things. But what I'm trying to make you aware of is the reason you're here is because of God's choice. And I'm not trying to make ourselves something different than others. I'm just telling you, God has a plan. And when he has a plan, it's because he wants these individuals that he has chosen, not those that choose to come. Am I making any sense? Okay? If we went into an advertising program and put up billboards, we could do something. But I don't believe that would be God. Because that would be a flesh commitment to do something, and I'm not objecting to those that do these works. That's their job. Our job is to become like the Son. That's full time, 7 days a week. And will we make it? Absolutely. And I believe those dark forces that have just hit a snag is just an example. And I believe we're going to go deeper. So would you close your eyes, please? Father, I want to thank you for what you are doing. Because I know that your Holy Spirit will confirm and reconfirm so that they'll know beyond a shadow of a doubt the commission they have from you to become like Jesus Christ, the firstborn of your sons. I give you praise. I give you glory. As the church is very pregnant and ready to deliver, I give you praise. I give you praise. I give you praise. In Jesus' name. Amen.